Oh, happy day, huh? You remember that day for you? 2 weeks from yesterday is going to be that day for me, June 21st, a day I'll never forget when I met Christ as my Savior and Lord. When I'm with people and they make that commitment, I really try hard to help them remember that anniversary. It is the best day of life. Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God, the children of God, part of the family of God. How are you doing in that peace area today? It was in the Bible that we read that in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars. Doesn't sound like peace, does it? Back in 1901, they started the Nobel Peace Prize. Heard of that? And since that time, there have been 19 years that they could not pick anybody to be the recipient of that because there's been so much conflict and warfare on this planet. Peace seems to be missing, doesn't it? There were times they had to scramble to find candidates for the Nobel Peace Prize, and some of them they picked were a bit dubious. 1994, Yasser Arafat, Nobel Peace Prize Award winner, surprise me. In 1945, the Nobel Peace Prize came out with a motto, and here's what their motto said: to have succeeding generations free from the scourge of war. Since that time, it's now almost 70 years later, there has not been one single day of peace on this planet. Peace? Where is it? When you hear about countries like Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq and India, and Pakistan, and most recently, Ukraine, North Korea. Where's the peace? When we think about those countries, the word peace doesn't exactly come to mind, does it? And then we bring it more home to the relationships we have. We're looking for peace there. And sometimes it does not exist, even in the closest of relationships, marriage, in our roles as parents, children, grandparents, grandchildren. How about in the workforce, in our communities, in our schools? Is peace existing? And yet, we find this in the Bible. It's amazing. Over 400 times the word peace is used in the Scriptures. When Paul writes his letters, the epistles of the New Testament, every single one of those 13 letters has an introduction that includes the word peace in it. And so here, in the next to the last beatitude, each of us is challenged to be a peacemaker. So what does that mean? Here's what we're going to try to do here today. We're going to try to look together and find out what it is that a peacemaker looks like and acts like. What are we called to do? And then we're going to look together at the types of peace that we are to pursue. Three categories. Been praying this week that God would bring people here today that might be struggling in this area so they could really find peace and be free to move on. Finally, we're going to look together at the blessing of being a peacemaker. We're invited to be called the sons, the children of God, part of His family. So let's look at, first of all, at what a peacemaker is, what he and she does, what they look like. First of all, this is going to be very ironic. A peacemaker must prepare for conflict. Isn't that an ironic statement? When we think about peace, we don't want to think about conflict. But the fact is, peacemaking is a messy business. And there's going to be conflict. Peace can exist in the midst of conflict. And that's one of the miracles of God. But I want you to know this. If you choose to be a peacemaker, you're going to be attacked. It will happen. You will face conflict and you will face challenges from others. Notice what the man, shall we say God-man, who is called the Prince of Peace, says about peace in Matthew 10, verse 34. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Does that sound strange? These are the words of Jesus. Here's what he means by that. Can we experience peace? Absolutely. We'll see that later. But he also says that if we will be completely dedicated as followers of Christ, that we will encounter conflict and challenges. That will be an automatic byproduct of obedience to him. The key is we can have peace in the midst of those tough times. You may have heard of a 5th century monk named Telemachus. Does that guy come to memory any from maybe your study of history, maybe religious history? He came to Rome in the 5th century, and he was very surprised when he got there. As he arrived into the city, he saw these large crowds of people heading toward the Colosseum there in Rome. And so he had kind of been isolated away from a lot of culture. He says, what's going on? Where are all the people going? He says, why are they so excited as they head towards wherever they're going? What's going on? And he was very surprised when he was told that the reason that this large group of people was heading to the Colosseum is that there would be men there fighting each other and killing each other. Gladiators. You're familiar with that in history. Telemachus, a Christ follower, again, who'd been kind of removed from the mainstream, thought to himself, it's 4 centuries after Christ came to this world, and they're still killing each other for enjoyment? He was amazed by that. But he joined the crowd. He hurried to the event, and he heard the gladiators shouting out, "Hail to Caesar! We die for Caesar!" That was their loyalty. Telemachus at that time decided he was going to become a peacemaker, but it was going to take courage to do that. So as a courageous peacemaker, he jumps over the barrier separating him from the gladiators, jumps in between 2 fighters, each of them trying to kill each other, holds up his hands and makes the following statement, "In the name of Christ, forbear." Now that's the quote. Can I bring it to the 21st century and translate it this way? Hey dudes, cut it out. Don't kill each other. The spectators were watching what he did. They got so irritated that he had interrupted their entertainment that they stoned him to death. Killed him on the spot. What happened as a result of that courageous act? A later emperor of the Empire of Europe named Honorius heard the story of Telemachus. And as a result, he ordained that those bloody contests would stop. Telemachus gave his life so that others might have peace. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if you're going to be loyal to Jesus Christ, and I don't mean just a Sunday church attender, but I mean somebody who is living out the faith day by day, it's going to interrupt the spiritual complacency of this world. And you're going to have some pushback from people. They're not going to like it. The result is going to be conflict. It's a byproduct of obedience to Jesus Christ. People will want you to give them the loyalty that you have given to Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, they're going to stand against you. They're going to be irritated by that. So let me just tell you, if you really want to be a peacemaker, get ready for the battle. The battle will come. Peace can come in the midst of conflict. But here's what you also need to know about being a peacemaker. A peacemaker does not compromise truth in the process of pursuing peace. You may have heard someone make the statement, hey, let's have peace at any price. Have you heard that before? I don't believe that's the biblical pursuit of peace, because peacemakers do not compromise the truth in order to make sure that everybody else gets along. And again, that's going to be the challenge of being a peacemaker. Notice how James describes peace in his epistle, chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, no compromise. Then peace-loving. Notice the order. The order is significant. First pure, then peace-loving. Peace without beliefs and values is just an empty shell. You can just throw that away. Peace and truth must come together and be partners. Peace does not equal a truce, a ceasefire. And I want you to know this about peace. It's not passive. It is active. A peacemaker is willing to take steps, take the initiative to promote and pursue peace. You can't sit back and wait for it to happen. It's not natural. You're going to have to step out with faith. In the passage on the spiritual armor in Ephesians 6, we are encouraged to become peace promoters. Notice what we read in chapter 6, verse 15. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Shoes, spiritual shoes that you put on. And what are shoes made for? Walking, moving, stepping out in faith. So what kind of peace are we to pursue? Have you ever thought about the categories of peace? I'm going to suggest three to you today that really are pretty easy to remember because they sound so much alike. But I'm going to try to identify each of them. The first peace is the foundation. You can't have other peace until it begins here. And that is peace with God. Eternal peace. This is the most important peace of all. Folks, God is not at war with us. But our sin puts us at odds with Him and at war with Him. Until our sin is taken care of through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, we're at war with God. He didn't choose it. We chose that. And we will never have peace. Not real peace. Not lasting peace. Peace that is not based on the circumstances of life. Peace that can exist in spite of all the challenges we face. It will never happen until, first of all, we have that foundational peace with God. Look at what Paul says in Romans 5, the first verse and a half of that chapter. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, justified means forgiven, our sin debt taken care of. Notice what happens after that. We have peace with God. Isn't that an awesome thought? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You know what people tend to do today? They tend to go on this arbitrary search for peace without having the foundation in place yet. I want you to listen to some of the comments that will come on this video from some people who are asked the question, hey, what is peace? And
would you consider your life peaceful right now?
No. Not at all.
Could you say that your life is peaceful?
In today's age, I think it's very difficult for anyone to find peace.
Would you consider your life peaceful? No. The job is really stressful, so overall, no, but I try to do what I can to get by. So. Where do you find peace?
Where do I find peace? In the trees.
How so?
Those are living, breathing, eating creatures. I think they're awesome.
Okay. Where does peace come from?
Well, to center of being internal, realizing that we have all the same powers and amazing entities that trees and nature has.
Tell me three things that worry you.
When the world is going to end, what I'm going to be doing in the next few years, who I might marry, I think that worries me.
Okay. Where does peace come from?
Inside, I think. For me, the ocean, because it's a place that I connect with myself, just in the how big it is and how, like, I don't know, permanent.
Where does peace come from?
Peace comes from being totally happy with yourself and your decisions. You can't totally be happy if you have questions in your mind, and that's where I think total peace comes from.
Where does peace come from?
Within, in the heart, from love, from friends and family. And basically, that's where I find peace.
Would you consider your life peaceful right now?
No, because there's too much killing and violence and stuff going around. I mean, you can't even, like back in the old days, you can leave your door open and, you know, people wouldn't say too much and then people kidnapping and stuff, so I don't think it's peaceful.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're
name three things that worry you.
I'd have to say also STDs. Flunking out of school and going to heaven.
Going to heaven worries you?
What worries me is not going there.
So where do you find peace?
At home, on my couch, watching sports, baseball, football, that sort of stuff.
Where does peace come from?
Peace comes from relaxation, friends, family.
Would you consider your life peaceful right now?
Very. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too. Where does peace come from?
It comes from inside.
Where do you think peace comes from?
Within.
Where does peace come from?
I think you have to make your own peace.
Where does peace come from?
Inside, I think.
Where does peace come from?
Within.
Where do you think peace comes from?
Where do I think that? Oh, I know where peace comes from.
Okay.
I know. I mean, I think the Bible teaches it best. You know, Jesus said something. He said, "The peace I give, not like the world gives." You know, and I think it's found in the book of John. So, the peace that people really need, which I think is the lasting peace, comes from knowing God. Not just God, but having a connection with faith in Christ Jesus. And I think that's what many people miss. I found that. And I think it works. I've lived that life for some years now, and I think it's a true word that Jesus spoke. So that's where peace comes from.
That peace today? Yes, it is internal, but it's not something you can create or make. It comes as a byproduct of having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And once you've made that eternal peace, you can move on to a different category of peace. Internal peace. Peace within. You just saw the scripture shared on the screen of the video. See the words again from Jesus Christ in John 14:27. Receive the power of this verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. What an offer. Jesus Christ reaches out and promises to give us this supernatural internal peace that nothing in this world could ever give to us that will lead to lasting peace. Yeah, we'll have troubles. Jesus said that in this world, you will have trouble. But he said, take heart, I've overcome this world. Our hearts do not have to continue to be troubled. We do not have to continue to walk and live in and by fear. And when we experience peace with God and the peace of God, we're ready to be peacemakers. Peace with others could be called fraternal peace, relational peace with others, eternal, internal, and fraternal relationships. Notice what Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 2. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now notice, this is not an appeal for peace at any cost. Paul is not saying, hey, you just need to get along. He invites them to get along in the Lord, to agree in the Lord. How can we improve our relationships with others? We're talking about building relational bridges here today. So let's try to get practical. How can we build relational bridges? Let me recommend the following to you. First, be a better listener in your relationships. That will help you grow. If you listen not just to the words, but to the heart of the person who's communicating with you. Look at James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Sometimes we go to someone with whom we have a strained relationship, and our goal is to spout at them, to erupt, to tell them why we're mad at them, to make a sound, to be heard. First, go to understand them by listening to their hearts. And then the chances are better that you will be understood in the process of conflict resolution. Value the other individual. Really value his or her opinions. Next, stop the gossip. That will lead to relational bridge building. Stop that process. Notice the warning we see in Proverbs 16:28. Strong words, huh? A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. When someone comes to you and speaks negatively about another person, don't become a passive listener. Don't wallow in the garbage with them. Stop it there at that level. When there's a relationship problem, we talked about this earlier, a peacemaker needs to take the initiative. Go to the person. If you have a damaged relationship with another person, Jesus invites you to step out and go to that person to try to reconcile it. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 31. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. This tells me, based on the context of these verses, that if I have not taken the initiative to right or to correct a wrong relationship, then my worship of God is going to be negatively affected. I am not going to be able to walk closely with God if I am intentionally harboring evil thoughts, a negative spirit or attitude, and if I have not taken the initiative. Some believe the Beatitudes are written as a response to the Pharisees. And how are they known? They're known as these self-righteous religious people. And arrogant and prideful. Almost every broken relationship that occurs happens because someone is proud and arrogant and refusing to be humble and to go to the other person to right or wrong. Today, is pride keeping you from having a victorious relationship with someone else? Are you willing to let that go? You may not be received when you go. I just want to tell you the truth. You can't help how you're received. That other person may not want to have anything to do with you, but I want to encourage you, make the effort. And when you do that, the Lord will grant you His peace, the supernatural gift, because you know you've done the right thing. What if the other person doesn't receive you? Here's what you need to know. When you've done your best, that's enough. When you have done your part, that's all you can do. It's enough. You can't reconcile the relationship by yourself. All you can do is take the step you need to take. Look at Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You can't change someone else. You cannot force them to be at peace with you. Once you've been obedient and done your part, that's enough. So today, which peace needs my attention? Let's make it personal. Our relationship with God, eternal. Internal peace, there's something going on in our lives that's preventing us from really having His peace. Or how about peace with others? Which one of those is God placing on your heart? First, top of the list today. Here's what's exciting. Remember, there's a promise at the end of this verse. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. What does that mean? What does it mean to be called sons of God? Romans 12:18, blessed are the peacemakers. Here's an amazing blessing for all peacemakers. Are you ready to appropriate this? When we are peacemakers, we're acting like our Father in heaven. We're acting like Him. We're following His example and His lifestyle. You see, if you're always looking for a fight, you're doing the work of the devil. But if you're pursuing peace, you're being recognized as a child of God. That word called means owned. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are owned by God. We are part of His family. It's like we're a chip off the old block. We begin to look and act more like our Father in heaven. The phrase sons of God refers to this family relationship where the son takes on his father's name and becomes an heir to the father's fortune. We enter into that relationship with Him. Sons of God are those who share His name and are heirs to the awesome riches of our glorious God. I read an amazing and powerful story this week about a woman who lived in Rwanda during the time of the genocide there. Do you remember that story back in the 1990s? In that genocide, because of racism and prejudice and anger and frustration, over 800,000 Rwandans were killed with internal conflict that was going on there. And this one woman, whose story I read, was not too different from a lot of the mothers there. She lost a son in this process. In fact, it wasn't just a son. It was her only son. Envision that. Imagine what she must be feeling. Bitterness, anger, despair, hopelessness. So she prays to God. God, please reveal to me the killer of my son. I want revenge. All of us would struggle with that, wouldn't we? There's one evening, she has a dream. She dreams she's going to heaven. But on the way, she has this unusual detour in her dream. She has to pass by and then into a particular house. Isn't that strange? She goes through the front door, goes through the rooms on the bottom floor, goes up the stairs, through those rooms, out the back of the house. And in her dream, she says, God, whose house is this? And in her dream, God said, it's the house of the young man who killed your son. Her road to heaven, in her dream, passes through the house of her enemy. And then she wakes up from a not too pleasant dream. Two nights later, there's a knock on her door. True story. She opens it, and there stands a young man about the age of her son, who was deceased. He looks at her and says, ma'am, I am the one who killed your son. Since that day, I have had no life. I have had no peace. My life is in your hands. Kill me. I am dead already. Have me thrown in jail. I'm in prison already. Have me tortured. I'm in torment already. This woman had prayed for a long time for the killer of her son to be revealed. However, now she finds that she can't kill him. She doesn't want him put in jail. She doesn't want him tortured. She does ask one thing of him, though. She looks at him and says, come into my home. Eat the food I would have prepared for my son. Wear the clothes that I made for him. Become the son I lost. And he did. Is that an incredible story? Of a peacemaker? Peacemakers do what God Himself has done. We are His children, right? If we're His followers, we are. We need to go out and to make sons and daughters out of bitter enemies that we have faced. We need to feed those that we've never met. We need to provide clothes to those that we don't even know. We need to reach out in His love. My friends, we travel to heaven straight through their houses, don't we? No wonder such people will be called the sons of God. And that's what God did for us. He came and He gave us Himself and He paid the price. And in return for our murder of the Son of God, we are invited to be in the family of God. I'm blown away. Are you? Last night, we had some of our people gathered here for the wonderful Bald for Him concert, and I couldn't make it because there was another gathering at the Dixie Speedway. It's my first time ever there, and I've got a lot of questions after visiting there. I learned a lot in that time, but I have a lot more questions. I have never seen so many car wrecks in my whole life as I saw last night. There was one race that started with 17 cars and ended with 6. So I was asked to do the invocation at the beginning of that. And in that, obviously, I prayed that there would be safety. And as far as I've heard, nobody died last night. If there is, somebody's going to be looking me up. But one of the things that I did at the beginning of that time is to offer words of peace. Isn't that ironic at a racetrack with so much noise and loudness and busyness that we would talk about peace? But that's what I did. And I'd like to conclude this message with the following blessing for you. A wonderful blessing from Numbers 6, verses 24 and 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. His peace, a peace the world cannot give. God, that's our prayer. That we would have peace with you, that we would know the peace that comes from you, and that we will take the steps we need to take to be at peace with others. God, speak in this time as we respond to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is our response time, our time to prepare, our time to make decisions and commitments. And what I'm very excited about here today is that we get to pray for one of our Summit Faith family who has been called by God to go to Hungary and to serve there as a missionary and to serve there at this chapter in her life that a lot of people just retire and take it easy. But Barb Gorman did not do that. She accepted God's invitation to go and to serve. And in just a few hours, she's heading back there, but she's with us today. Barb, why don't you come on and make your way down to the front. Karen, we're glad you're here. Would you like to stand with your mama? You could keep her straight for us, okay? Make her behave. Come on down to the front. Barb is serving in Hungary. You see an insert in your bulletin there. Hopefully you received one. If you didn't get one, there's probably some extra bulletins out there. You could grab one. It describes the ministry that's going on there. There's so many exciting things that are happening there. And Barb is committed to go back there and to be God's representative, his peacemaker in that culture. I'm really proud of her. I know you guys are too. Why don't you just let her know that you're behind her and with her, supportive of her. Yeah. That awesome? And if you would, a lot of you are standing. Please go ahead and stand with us as we prepare for this time. Because here's what I'd like to ask you to think about doing. Okay? Now, Karen, you got to let her go in a few hours, okay? It's tempting just to kidnap her and then keep her here. If during our response time, if you would like to just come by and give a high five, a pat on the back, maybe a few of you even to gather around and just pray for Barb and for Karen, her daughter, who's here with her today, just to let them know that we're behind them and that we will continue to pray for them, not just today, but in the future. Amen? Because we want her to know we're behind her. This is your time to really be thinking about your life. We're celebrating the first week of the Builders for Christ mission trip. I heard great reports from their work there in Fordsville, Kentucky. Other groups are going to be going. We want to continue to pray for them. If I have my calendar right, youth camp is leaving tomorrow, right? So we want to pray for that group as they go out that God will just do an awesome work there. And we can pray ahead of time for the children's camp. It's a week from tomorrow. We want to lift that up as well, that God would do a wonderful work in that time. I don't want to detract you from singing, but you know, you don't have to sing during the response time. You can pray. You can come to the front and pray. You can pray at your seat. You can encourage Barb. Have you made peace with God? If not, we're here to help you start that relationship. It's the best in the universe. We'd love to meet with you. If you just love to sit down sometime, we're here to help. We would love to help you in that. Are you struggling internally with something? Just need somebody to pray for you for that internal peace that God offers. Maybe you know of some that are having relationship struggles. They're all around us, aren't they? In our families and at school with friends. If you just need somebody to pray with you about a situation, or maybe it's something you're facing, we're here to do that. This is your time to respond to God. And as he speaks, we invite you to respond. Please encourage Barb and Karen as you can.